Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents the Betches Brides podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed. Because after all, it's only one day of your life.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Betches Brides podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Pellegrino, and I'm here with our lovely co-host, Jordana Abraham. Jordana.
Hey, how is everything?
Did I say your name?
You said it right.
Said your name with the southern twang.
I like it.
Yeah, everything's good. What about you?
So I just told you this before we started recording, but you may notice I have a slight speech impediment today. Because I got lingual braces on last week. So they say it takes like a couple weeks for your mouth to adjust and you have like a kind of a lisp for the first couple weeks. So I'm kind of regretting my decision because it's like really hard for me to talk and it's like very uncomfortable.
And you're a podcaster.
Literally. And I'm a podcaster. So this is probably like the worst thing that I could possibly have done to myself, but I didn't realize exactly what would happen. But you know, it's that my wedding, the wedding's coming up and I've always, my bottom teeth have always kind of bothered me. So I'm kind of like, it's now or never. I should fix this problem. Like if I'm not going to do it now, I'm never going to do it. So I got them put in. I kind of regret it now. I'll let you know if that changes in the next few weeks, but this was my pre-wedding beauty routine, beauty thing that I was like, I was going back and forth on. And then I just decided to do it. And now I regret it. And I hope I don't soon. That's my whole thing.
Honestly, you're speaking to the most forgiving audience when it comes to this, because I'm sure you guys let Jordana know, DM, send her a nice DM, send her some love. Let her know that you don't care that her voice has a slight lisp right now, because I mean, us brides will go to great lengths and do anything to look perfect on our wedding day, even if that means, you know, having a lisp as a big podcaster for Betches Media. I'm sure the UUP audience wouldn't be as understanding, but I know the Betches Brides audience and I know they'll understand that it's for the wedding.
I hope you guys forgive me. If not, I'll try to say words with less S's in them and I'm hoping that this improves. So you guys will know in the next few recordings if it actually does or not. That's my hope.
we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see your teeth, the end result of the straight teeth. And guys, honestly, it's smart. If anybody else is in the same boat and wants to straighten their teeth for the big day, Jordana got these like inside braces. So
yeah, they're like behind my teeth. It's not Invisalign, but it's like a braces that go, they're like actual braces that just behind your teeth instead of in front so you can't see them. Smart. But DM me. I'll tell you about the whole experience and why you should avoid it. what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about a lot of things as usual, but really how to include loved ones in your big day. So I'm excited for that. But before we jump in, guys, subscribe to our newsletter. It's really good. It's the Betches Brides newsletter. It's called Say Yes to the Betch. It's a weekly newsletter. Every Tuesday, you get exclusive discount codes to different bridal stuff that we're putting out. You get hacks, tips, you get inspiration, all of it. It's kind of like your go-to wedding planning source. And also just like DM us if you want to see new sections in there, because we're always working to optimize the content for you. So go to betches.co/brides newsletter to subscribe. But yeah.
Let's get into it. You want to read the first email?
Yes, we're going to get into it. First email here.
First email. Okay.
Yes. Hi, Jordana and Nicole. Loving the podcast. You answer questions I didn't know I had. We love that. That's really our goal with this podcast. Okay, so she says, my fiance and I decided against having a wedding party because they are far too political and create unnecessary stress, as a lot of your listener questions would suggest. LOL. Girl, don't we know? I am an only child. However, my fiance has a married older brother and a younger sister. He would like his siblings to feel included in the day. My suggestion was for them to do some type of reading. He didn't like this. We also agree that neither of them have the right personality to be officiants. Personally, I like the idea of his brother and sister-in-law walking down the aisle to their seat, then his sister followed by my fiance and his parents walking him down. I think that sounds really nice and makes a point they are immediate family and not regular guests. Would love more suggestions on how to make my fiance's siblings feel included. Thanks in advance. Till death do us part, a selfish only child. So this one is really asking, you know, how does she include the siblings? Or like, and you know, we can broaden the advice to how to include like family members in your big day who, you know,
you're
feel...
not having a bridal party. Yeah.
Right, right. So this one, we did some research online before. There were a bunch of fun ideas. Well, first and foremost, to address her email, I'd say, so basically we're both having impediments. Thanks for rubbing off on me. She suggested that they do a reading, which like that was the most common thing I've heard. And also in my research before I saw online, like people were like, oh, you know, include people by having them do a reading, but her fiance didn't like this. So we're crossing that one out off the list. But for any others, you know, reading's a great way to include them.
I thought the most obvious of the suggestions that you wrote was like a speech, if they wanted to give one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like either at the rehearsal dinner or the actual ceremony. I think the rehearsal dinner is great for that.
Yeah. I always forget that's an option because that's less pressure. I know we've said before, because it's the night before, it's not, you know, the official ceremony. You just squeeze it in. That's a good way to make them feel.
Totally. Included. Or if they're not good speech givers, because she said she wasn't thinking they would be good officiants. So maybe if she's like, they wouldn't be good at that either. You can also have them MC it. Like they introduce the people who do give speeches. If they're not interested in actually giving the speech, I think that's a good role.
You're having an MC at yours, right? Like one
Probably.
Of your family members?
My brothers are officiating. Yeah.
Right, right. Okay. I always forget that that's an option too. Have a little MC. I would love to MC a wedding personally. Hire me.
Yeah, I love your idea about the witness thing.
Yes. So that was one of the things I saw. It was saying just like ask them to be your official witness. And that's a little bit more, if they are a little shyer and quieter, I like that option because it's a little more like low key. It's not in front of an audience, but it still is a very prestigious moment of like a very important moment for the wedding. Like when you're actually getting your license and registration for marriage, have them come to the courthouse with you and be your witness. Another kind of like low-key thing but really special is invite them to get ready with you. Maybe the girl could come or the sister-in-law could come with you, the bride, and get her makeup and hair done with you, or and you know, the guy could whatever, go with the guy, but invite them to do a special little thing like or even at the end of your getting ready routine the day of, like invite them with you. That way, you know, they're kind of the last person to see you before you actually do walk down the aisle. I think that's really special. And that's like an honor to be invited to get ready with the couple.
Totally. In Jewish weddings, there's this thing where you sign the Jewish marriage contract, which is called the ketubah.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a witness who's not related. Well, I guess they can't be related to you, but I guess that'd be good for the sister-in-law.
Yeah.
If they were Jewish. I don't know if they are. Or if you have a similar situation as this listener and you are Jewish, that's a great way to include people who are like friends that are not necessarily in the bridal party.
Good to know it's called the ketubah. I've only like seen it written and I feel like I assumed it was ketubah. So this is new for me.
Yeah, I would think that too. I think if I had not heard it said out loud.
Yeah, I forgot though. That's a good moment, especially in Jewish weddings.
Yeah, and I also think your brother knows his siblings best. So, like, I would just ask him, like, what do you feel like other than having a bridal party or a groomsmen party, like, what do you feel like? What do you feel like they would appreciate the most? Because like, everyone's different. Some people like would feel honored to give a speech. Other people, that's like their worst nightmare. Like, maybe maybe they have a particular talent that they like could bring to the wedding. I don't know what it, you know, whether it's like making something or giving you your something blue or borrowed or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I would ask him, or if you know them well, like just think about like what would feel like a natural integration of their personality.
Right. Cause they might even be like I could see me asking my brother, he's going to be Mike Scrimson, but he's like quieter. He doesn't want to like do something for an audience. I could almost see him in this scenario being like, oh, don't feel like you have to include me in the day. Like I could also see the siblings being like, you don't have to just like stop stressing about it.
It would make them feel better if they weren't included. Right.
Like, please don't force me to be included.
Right. The pictures are enough for a lot of people, I think.
Exactly. You said talents. That's one of my favorite things that I saw in the research before. It was like, you know, if somebody's a good baker, have them bake one of the desserts. It could be like, it doesn't have to be the wedding cake. That's like a lot of pressure. I feel like even if you are an amazing baker, but they can bake their special cupcakes, their special cookies. And then you can say like on the menu, you know, cupcakes baked by so-and-so.
You remember the Friends episode? Did you watch Friends?
I love Friends.
Do you remember the Friends episode where Phoebe gets mad because Chandler and Monica won't let her sing at their wedding?
Vaguely, yes. Okay, yeah.
Because she writes a really funny song about it. She's like,
no, I don't.
The next time I get married, guess who won't be asked to sing? Somebody named Geller and somebody else named Bing. Anyway, it made me think.
Yes. Only ask people to sing if they're actually good. I don't have anybody like that in my family. No offense to my family. But yeah, I mean, that's a really special way to incorporate someone. I saw people, I guess the thing now is like making your grandmas the flower girls. So that's not siblings, but you can make.
I've never heard of that.
I saw that somewhere. It's like a trend these days. You heard it here first.
That's really funny.
I mean, there's a whole list. You could, you know, even just make them a little corsage, even though they're not in the wedding. So tell the florist, you know, I'll give you 20 extra bucks or however much they cost. Make my brother a corsage so he can wear it and kind of distinguish him as one of the special people. But I also think she said in her email, walking down the aisle, that's a huge one that I saw. Like that would be kind of the quick, a nice, subtle, but like nice way, like have them walk down the aisle specially before, you know, so they take their seat, like how she outlined it in the email. That's a big way that people kind of make family members a part of the day.
I like that. I think we've answered that pretty sufficiently.
Yeah, we'll post more about it because we have a whole list. Maybe we'll make a little Instagram graphic like we do.
That's a good idea.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
All right, I'm going to read the next one. Please bear with me. I'm going to try my best, but this is going to be good practice for me. Hi, Betches. I need wedding guest advice. I have two weddings in one weekend coming up in the spring. One wedding is on a Saturday night and the other is on a Sunday night. The wedding on Saturday is for a close high school friend that I have known for over 15 years. The Sunday wedding is for a close friend from college that I have known about 11 years now. The problem is that I'm a bridesmaid in the Sunday one. Her rehearsal dinner takes place on Saturday night, and I would need to be up early Sunday morning to get ready with the other bridesmaids. The Saturday night wedding is a 20-minute drive from where I live, and the Sunday night wedding is a 3-hour drive from where I live. I am close with both girls in different ways, even though I'm only a bridesmaid in one of them. So I'm having difficulty knowing how to support both of them on their special day. To top it all off, I'm a bridesmaid in a separate wedding for a best friend from high school. Her wedding is not this weekend, but her bachelorette party is the same weekend from Friday to Sunday and local. Who do I attend and what should I do? I would appreciate any advice. Thank you.
I loved this question because I feel like a lot of people are going to start running into this same issue of like, which wedding event do I attend? Because I know so many friends that like can't even entertain the idea of me even having a bridal shower this summer because they're like, I'm sorry, I have a wedding every weekend. So yeah, I mean, a lot of people are having weddings starting now and wedding events.
Yeah. So, and it's really hard, especially when there's things that are beyond your control. Like, you want to be a good friend to everyone. And I do think it's very easy to get offended by these things on the other side of them. But for a lot of people, like, if you have friends from different areas of life, they're not consulting each other about like these events. And so I think we should all be okay with like cutting people a little slack, especially this year. Like you said, like there's so many events and like so many people had to move so many things around that like it's going to be inevitable that you're not going to be able to attend everything, which is in a year after a year like 2020 is like a nice problem to have in some ways.
Right. Yeah. And from the guest perspective, you can tell, like, I'm sure these guests, like her herself writing the email, are doing the best they can to like let the couples that they know that are getting married know, like, hey, careful, I have a wedding on this date, like maybe try to avoid that date. But like couples can't play the let me avoid dates anymore around my guests. Like you're gonna have some stuff that falls on the same weekend. My own sister has to miss her very, very best friend in the world, who she's a bridesmaid in, wedding, because my own brother had to reschedule to the exact same date, and it's in November, and she's like, and my sister's best friend is being very like understanding. She's like, look, it's your brother's wedding. It's the only weekend my brother could do. My sister's, of course, put in the weirdest position, and she's like pissed at everybody. But I mean, it's the point of that story is,
yeah,
it happens, and you got to understand. I think for this email, I would cross off the right away, like the last line. She said there's a bachelorette party the same weekend.
Third thing, yeah.
Cross that thing off. Like, let's get that out of the way.
I would say, the bachelorette, I think you could say, like, for that, obviously it sucks. I would tell her you're really sorry and then say, I would love to take you out for like a really fun dinner, just the two of us, or like maybe with even a larger group. I would love to take you out for a fun dinner. I want to celebrate with you. You can do that separately. And like, I think as long as you're showing an effort, the person will understand.
When in doubt, do a dinner, like with anything. Literally, that's always our advice.
It's like, it's a great way to like show someone that you care and you're thinking about it, and you're not just saying it's no big deal. Like, you want to celebrate this with them.
That's a good point. I've also seen people that can't go on a bachelorette do something sweet. If you have the money to do this, you can send like a champagne bottle to the room as a way to like say, like, look, I'm celebrating you from afar to the bride on her bachelorette weekend. That's a cute little way to say, like, wish I was there.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's nice.
But yeah, love the dinner idea. But yeah, I mean, for this one specifically, it's tough because there's one on Saturday, one on Sunday. The Sunday one's far. It's not like I would normally say like, okay, girl, rally, you got to do both. There's some traveling involved. I think just off the bat, it's like you are a bridesmaid in the Sunday one. So I would maybe explain to the Saturday one that like, it's like just what the situation is and that you might have to miss, unfortunately, miss her wedding. And kind of like you said, like do what you feel you need to do to kind of make it up to her, offer to take the couple out for dinner. But I would say go with the Sunday one. What about you?
I think it's tough. It's like, I agree with you on like, based on just like the information that she gave. If she really wants to put in some sort of effort to be at both, you could say to the person on the Sunday wedding, like, I'm so excited to be there. I'm going to wear like the right dress. I'm not going to be able to make it in time to get ready with you, but I will be there to like walk down the aisle and I'll try to even like make it by the pictures if she could. Like if it's 3 hours away, you could say like, I'm not gonna be able to make the rehearsal dinner, but I'll be at the wedding and I'll be there. And like, if she really feels strongly about going to both, if she has, right. If she's like, this is going to be too stressful, I don't want to be like running around the entire weekend. That's totally fair also. And I think in that case, she should miss the wedding where she's not a bridesmaid. And it sucks. But again, like she's not a bridesmaid. She's clearly not like the closest person in the world to them. It sucks to not be able to make their wedding, but like it happens. It's life, you know?
Right. I agree. If she wants to do both and drive that early that morning, do it. And you can miss the rehearsal. I was thinking about that because like really it's the same stuff at every wedding for the most part. Like as a bridesmaid, you literally are just like walking and standing or sitting next to the bride. You don't like, it's not a full fledged rehearsal that you need to be fully present there for. So
yeah, I have a friend who's like pregnant for a different friend's wedding and it was just going to be like too much. She was like very pregnant. It was going to be too much for her to like be doing the whole like getting ready thing all day. So she just like came.
Yeah.
For the pictures. She was like, nice.
I like that. People understand. So yeah. Don't stress. All right. Let's get into our last one.
It's a doozy.
Taking a sip of water before this one. Buckle up for the ride, guys, but it's a helpful one. Okay. Hi, Jordana and Nicole. Thank you for keeping me sane wedding planning in a pandemic. Quick shout out to Nicole for addressing the loss of her mom with wedding planning. Thank you, guys. That meant the world to me and all other brides who have lost a parent. Both quick appreciation and cue to my question. I'm writing this question to you at 5 a.m. because it is quite literally keeping me up at night. My father passed away last year, so I will not be having a father-daughter dance at our wedding. I really don't want to have any sort of replacement dance because I feel it would highlight his absence and make that moment harder on me. My fiance didn't feel strongly about dancing with his mother, but it would mean the world to her to have a mother-son dance. She asked me directly with no pressure, and I said absolutely. She's been wonderful helping us plan the wedding and overall just an amazing woman. I don't want to take away that special moment with her son just because I can't have it with my dad. Emotions aside, the logistics in me are worried about where in the evening to have this mother-son dance. I believe the traditional cadence of dances is bridegroom first dance, father-daughter, then mother-son, then dinner. But by not having a father-daughter dance, I don't want to go from the high of our first dance to then watching my fiance dance with his mom and then us awkwardly walk to dinner. And also walk to dinner. I don't know why that just threw me off. Like, where are you walking to? It's right there. Okay. I have a big
maybe
family.
Maybe it's a long way away. Who knows?
Yeah. Where's the dance floor and where's dinner? I'm confused. Maybe she didn't mean that. Okay. I have a big family, so I know that my dad's absence will make guests emotional, obviously myself included. It also feels odd to kick off the dancing for the evening post-dinner with the mother-son slow country song, his mother's choice, not my fiance's, LOL. Doesn't help that their song is a bit slower and somber, so either jumping into it after our first dance or kicking off dancing for the night with it would be kind of a downer, but maybe just my bias here. I'm aware this is a pretty specific question, but similar to Nicole, I know there's a lot of brides out there who have lost a parent. It's been really emotional planning a wedding and trying to fill the gaps of who will walk me down the aisle, give the father of the bride toast, etc. But this one I feel strongly about not having any replacement while also not robbing my fiance of that moment. Any advice on where the mother-son dance can slide in as inconspicuously as possible would be really appreciated. Thank you, J and N. I love that we got the little J and N nickname, like you and Jared getting you up, J and J.
We're at that place in our podcast hosting relationship there where we are.
That made me feel special.
Initials. Yeah. J and N. I like it.
But yeah.
So, thank you for writing in. This is a good question. I would say my advice would be to put the dance, who cares about like the traditional order of anything? Right? Like, do what makes sense for you and your wedding. So, like, I didn't even know there was an order. Did you know that?
I looked it up and there, she's right. Like, it's usually, I think it's usually after dinner and like before they open up the dance floor to everybody more.
They reopen it? Like, people dance before dinner though, don't they?
That's the thing. I think everybody's timeline is different, but the most common I saw was like before dinner. So right after the couples dance, that you quickly go into parents' dances and then like dinner and toasts and stuff, or a lot of people do it after dinner and toasts. And then, you reopen the dance. Yeah. Like people already danced before at some point, but like toasts, obviously people sit and don't dance. And then quick, like, parents dance happens, and that way like at the end of the parents dance you kind of like join more people join you, if that makes sense.
Right. Maybe she should do the parents dance like right before dinner, so it's not like it's not putting a weird mode on like before people start like really dancing. Do you know what I mean? Like wind things down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like I remember in my sister's, the parents' dances happened quick. They were quick. And that was my other tip. Like maybe, obviously you want the mom, mother-in-law to have like her big moment with her son, but maybe like talk to them and see if like it's okay if the dance is like shorter. Because I've seen a lot of weddings do a shorter parents' dances and guests appreciate that. They don't need to sit there.
They don't need to watch it for like the whole 8-minute song or whatever.
No, hell no. And some weddings have done that. And to me, it just feels too long. I don't need to sit there on minutes on end and watch.
Like, it's like watching like a very like intimate kind of weird moment, but like, what is everyone else supposed to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that would be my first tip. Make sure it's like a shorter one. It's still just as special. And B, I think you, like you said, do whenever you talk to your coordinator or whoever's working with you, see like when those gaps are in the ceremony that or in the reception that might make most sense. But I do think like if you want to, like right off the bat, I would think do it before dinner, right after your couple's dance, even though she said like that might feel awkward. I also think she might be overthinking it a little bit and like, and it's easy to do that. I get that.
Also, I think sometimes things are like more emotional when you're not expecting them.
Right.
So I think that like if she knows she's going to feel this way, like she can sort of process that before. I mean, obviously in the moment it would still be emotional, but I think that if she like, you know, deals with it a little before, because it sounds like she's like knowing, she's anticipating how she will feel. She can figure out like at what point is this going to be like the least triggering for me to see this.
Right.
And only she can really know that, you know?
Right, right. Also, this might be the worst advice ever, but I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, if I'm sitting there and I know I'm going to get super sad watching this for like the minute that it goes on, what if she just kind of like slips over to the bathroom or goes to the bar and gets a drink or something, like busies herself somehow? I don't know if that would look weird.
I think that's like not a bad idea. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, for her to just be watching also just seems a little awkward. Like sitting there, like watching the whole thing, like maybe like I agree. I think making it shorter, like, okay, the first minute, 1 minute of the dance is the mother son. And like during that, maybe you ask your friend to like pull you over to the bar.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. That way
you, and then by the time you're there, yourself, it's like over. Yeah.
Exactly. And if anybody says anything, if your fiance is like, what the fuck, you could just be like, look, I didn't want to get upset. I'm sure he'll understand.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will notice or care if you did that. Yeah. I think that's a good suggestion. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Scurry away.
Right. Or like have something funny in your phone to be like looking at while they're doing this to sort of, even if you are sitting there, like kind of like distract you, like take a second to like look at, you know
exactly.
what I mean? Like distract yourself with something funny or like upbeat.
Yeah. I would also just like, if you are going to watch, do that with the distraction on the phone and just like make sure you're standing near people that like you want to be standing near if you are watching it. Like I remember for my sisters, I was standing near her bridesmaids and it was like so fun because we all like for the father-daughter dance, we all like started like swaying together. It sounds really weird when I say it, but it was like funny because I was standing near them. So that's the thing, like make sure you're not like standing there like alone watching and like, you know, depressed standing there.
Right. You can hang out with like your mom or like
right.
siblings or something. I think that's great. And let them know ahead of time that you're like worried about this being a little like emotional for you and what you would like them to do. And I'm sure anyone would be very happy to help you out in
for
that
sure.
moment.
This made me think too, because my younger brother is getting married in November. And I was like, oh shit, poor Chris. Like he's not going to have a mother son dance because we lost our mom, which is going to be like a really sad moment. Like him and my mom were very close. And so I was like, I didn't even think about this. So I think I'm going to offer to have me and my sister dance with him.
That's
and I
so
can
cute.
You're cute, but I could see him being like, no, like I'm fine. Just we'll just
right. get away from me.
Like literally he might be like, get the fuck away. But so yeah, I'm going to see, I'll keep you guys updated on what we end up doing.
Let us know
for that. Yeah.
Well, I think we did it. We solved, weddings.
We did once again, another week of us solving weddings.
Should we play some games?
Yes. Unpopular opinions, our favorite game. Also, guys, like email us if you have any game ideas. We're always open to new segments and you guys have the best ideas. And like if you miss any of our old segments like we used to do, we'll bring them back. We'll bring them back from time to time always. Like our happily ever after segment.
Brides@betches.com. Brides@betches.com.
Yes. Oh, and like our runaway bride. We'll have to play that too again. We haven't played that in a while. But for now, unpopular opinions. The first one is engagement photos are unnecessary.
I agree. I'm not having engagement photos being taken, but Mike did hire a photographer to take pictures of our proposal. So I did use those for like our like save the date, digital save the date, and like might put that on something else. I don't know. But if I didn't have that, like maybe I would do it. But I also think you could just use any pictures of the two of you. I do hear that people like doing it, though, because it's sort of like a practice run for your actual wedding. So you can feel like comfortable in front of a camera doing weird things together, right. Which I think that's helpful. But it's not like I wouldn't say necessary, but helpful. What do you think?
Right. I actually have a strong opinion about this one. I disagree that I think they're necessary.
Oh, you think everyone should have them?
Yes, but yours in my eyes, your ones count as engagement photos because they were photos taken at your engagement. And so like you said, you're using them for stuff. I just have found like I'm not even that crazy about my own engagement photos. I was so hungover for them. My makeup looked like shit because I did it in 3 seconds, like right before. It was below zero weather in Central Park. It was like not the best conditions, but I still find myself using them for literally everything. My save the dates, my change the dates, my website, I don't know. I've used them for everything. So I'm so glad I have them. I do agree. Like if you do have cute photos of the two of you that are like decent quality that you can use in place, that's fine. But I do agree with you too. It's like, it's a perfect opportunity to, you know, get to know the camera with your fiance. Mm-hmm. Like get comfortable with each other, with your photographer. I know that's why a lot of wedding photographers in their packages, they say, I'm willing to, you know, give you for a discounted price or sometimes for free, a free engagement photo shoot, because they also, the photographers, like to get to know you as a couple before the big day. So I don't know. I just think they're necessary.
Yeah. I think if you can afford them, they're very, very helpful to have some professional shots, because it is awkward the first time you're taking pictures with someone. It's like not the most natural thing ever.
Totally. It's definitely weird unless you two are like models.
Right. Yeah. If you're like Gigi and Zane, you probably don't need them.
Yeah.
And 58% of our audience agrees with you, Nicole. They disagree with the statement and they think engagement photos are necessary.
Mm-hmm. So I think get your engagement photos, kids. Okay. Next one is big weddings are over.
I don't know. You're having a big wedding. Do you agree?
I disagree with this. I think
I disagree and fuck you.
And fuck you. I'm having one. Well, my wedding's going to be around 150, 180 max people.
Is that big? So. I feel like that's like average.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, what do we mean by big? And I guess we just have to like speculate here. I think like when I think of big wedding, I do think of like almost 180 to 200 people. And then like really big is like, I've seen, you know, 300 person weddings. But I think I think in this, in terms of this statement, we're thinking of anything over, you know, a micro wedding size. Like a micro wedding to me is like 40 people.
Right. I think it's 50. Below 50 is like what I think of it as.
Is the term. Yeah. Is the terminal correct definition of the micro wedding. But so yeah, anything like over that. But yeah, I mean, I disagree. I think now that everybody's getting vaccinated, I think the world is opening up. I think we're going to see that, yes, people are going to start having smaller weddings as more of a norm, but I definitely don't think that big weddings are over.
Yeah, I agree. So. I got vaccinated, so I'm feeling very optimistic about big weddings.
Lucky.
I'm not having a big wedding, but I love big weddings. I like to attend them. If I had more friends, maybe I would have a bigger wedding, but it's, I don't think they're over. I think they're going to ease back in. I think they're slowly going to come back.
Right. Right. Yeah. Especially I think 2022, we're going to see a lot more back to the norm of the big wedding.
Big ass wedding. Yeah.
Yep. But, so 56% of people disagreed with the statement that big weddings are over. They think that, you know, They're not over. All right. So the third one is having a first look with your dad is overrated, which this reminded me of our episode because it's, you know, about a family member and incorporating them.
You know, normally I think this kind of thing is a little cheesy and I could agree, but the sentimental part of me actually really likes it because you think about it. I think when you think about it from your perspective, it's like cheesy and unnecessary, but when you think about it from your parents' perspective, like you were like the child that they like held the day they were born, like they can remember like having you in their arms when you were just like literally like just came into the world, and like it's such a milestone in your life, but it's really a milestone in their life too, because like, you know what I mean, they've seen you through it all. Like I do think it's like a very important emotional moment, and I think it's kind of nice when you think of it like that.
I agree. And I think it depends on like, obviously your relationship with your father. But I think if you do have a good one, like you said, it's a sentimental moment. And even like, I know my own dad is like quieter. Like you wouldn't think that he likes moments like this, but he does get sentimental. And like when my sister did it, he cried. It was a really sweet moment. I'm doing one personally just because my sister did. So I feel like I have to. But also because of that.
I mean, my dad is a crier. He's going to be like bawling. I'm not looking. And you know, I'm not like the most emotional person at all.
That's why I'm laughing.
So the thought of it is like making me a little uncomfortable even just thinking about it, because I know he's going to be like hysterical. So like not even like one tear drop, like he's gonna be crying. So I'm like, part of me is like, ugh, like I hope he doesn't overdo it and I don't feel like weird, but like I do think it's a nice moment for him. My dad's like very, very sentimental, very, very like emotional guy. So I wanna do it for him.
Yeah, you need to. You have to do it. Wait, question. Do you think that you'll like cry at all on your wedding day?
I hope
you're not a crier.
I feel like Mike's gonna be disappointed if I don't cry.
Do you think he will?
He's shaking. He's like nodding that he will be crying and he will be upset if I do not.
Oh God, that's a lot of pressure. Well, that's me to my Mike. That's me to Mike. I think I've seen him cry like maybe once in the whole 8 years I've known him. He just doesn't show emotions. It's something we work on every day. But that's the thing. I'm like, I'm a crier. I cry every 5 seconds.
Oh, you'll definitely be crying.
I think I will. But then again, I could see my like weird anxiety like making me not cry. I don't know. But
yeah, I'm anxious that I won't be emotive enough, which if you met me, you can probably understand.
I could see you shedding like a subtle tear, a
single
at some
tear.
Point. Yeah, you can get when I used to like think I was an actress at one point in life, you can get like little tears, like a chapstick for under your eyes that like makes you cry.
Oh, off would Amazon. That be like, how embarrassing would that be though? If someone had to like find out that you were faking it.
true. Maybe. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, no.
I'm gonna practice crying. We'll see if it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just think of what I endured to get to this moment, all of the weeks of my speech impediment trying to get early. And it'll just make me start crying. Yeah.
Think of the money spent on the wedding and what else you could be using that for, and that alone will make you cry.
I love that.
All right. Well,
that's it for this week. We'll see you next week. Till death do us part.
The Betches Brides podcast is produced by Nicole Pellegrino, Sean Kilby, and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Brides and send us your emails to brides@betches.com. Betches.